We'll start with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, creator of all things, we come to you once again, Lord. We are having open hands and open minds, open ears. We ask, Lord, that you just fill us with your spirit, because your spirit will guide us in all truth, all of your righteousness, all of your judgments, Heavenly Father. It will be the compass that we need in this world. Father, we pray right now for the people in the building. We pray for the people who will receive this on CD, Lord God, that may this just be another witness, another testimony of you, of your mightiness, of your omnipotence, Lord God, of how you hear the prayers of your people, how you care for your people, that you want to give us the desires of our heart, Lord God, but not the desires of riches and money and fame, but good health and life, wisdom, your understanding, your knowledge, that we can survive in a world that cares not about you, nothing about your ways. They discard the Bible. They discard Jesus. So may we be led in your spirit. May we worship you in your spirit. Thank you for your spirit. We pray for healing for the people. Physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing, scars in our hearts and mind, Lord God. We know in the gospel that Christ was the mighty healer, how he healed and cast out demons. People traveled miles and miles and miles to receive the healing. Lord, we come into your Sabbath assembly looking for healing. People need your healing, Lord God. So we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you that there is a way. We thank you for your graces. We thank you for your love, Lord God. So we pray, Father, that prayers are answered, that the deep thoughts of the people will be revealed today in the word, Lord God, that you may prove to them, not me, but you prove to them that you are God, that you are the almighty creator, that you know all things. What can you not do? Who can you not save? Who can you not heal? Thank you, love. Thank you, Lord. We give all praise and glory to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach. We thank you, Father. We pray for an increase in your spirit. We pray that your people, Heavenly Father, feel Christ's tears today to unharden the hearts. Seeds may be planted and fruit may be grown for you and your kingdom. We ask you these things. In Christ's name we pray, Father. Amen. Seems like no matter how many times I have to prepare a word or get a word from the Lord to give back to the people, the one thing that never changes is butterflies in my stomach and the nervousness. And when we used to talk to our players, we used to say, guys, if you're not nervous before we go out here and play, then you don't need to be in here. You don't need to be in the locker room with us if there's you don't have that butterfly feeling. But that nervousness is my flesh, and the passion and the encouraging words for you is from the Lord. Major difference, because until that time's come, I will be in the flesh. We will be in the flesh. Shalom and good morning. Once again, we see his mercy and patience with his people as he has allowed us another week to make choices, whether it is gaining his favor or slowly losing his trust. Because our Elohim is gracious and slow to anger, he has given us another holy day, another Sabbath to gain correction, restoration, inspiration, love, encouragement, forgiveness, everything we need to grow and work wonder in our lives. As we journey through the wilderness another 6 days, let us be patient and cautious with the decisions that we make. May we be cognizant of the Holy Spirit when we are reminded of Yahshua's or Jesus' cost. If we don't please the Son of God, he will not be pleased with us. He will not present us to his Father, who sits on the throne in heaven. If we fall victim to our flesh and our desires overcome us, we must be quick to acknowledge. We got to be humble. We must repent and ask for forgiveness. And remember, we said this before over and over, ask in Greek in your New Testament. Ask in Greek is ateho, and it means to beg, to crave. So Jesus, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Beg, crave. Prove to the one that you can't see that you really mean what you're saying. It's more than lip service. Because God can do what? He can read your heart. He can search your heart. And only the Father. Only the Father. Not man. Let's turn to Exodus. Turn to Exodus today. We'll start in Exodus. And I can honestly say that this message, preparing this word for the people of the Lord, the saints of God, this one I have had more excitement than any of the others. There's been an excitement inside of me to give you this bread. And it's not my bread, but it's his bread. Because the Father rained down manna from heaven. And I'll be reading this twice for you. I will not be in the Tanakh that much today, because we'll spend a lot of time getting a lot of word, but we will be in the New Testament or the New Covenant a lot today. Exodus 16, we'll start in verse 2. I'll read it twice for you. Exodus 16, verse 2. The entire assembly of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The children of Israel said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of Hashem in the land of Egypt, as we sat by the pot of meat when we ate bread to the full, for you have taken us out to this wilderness to kill the entire congregation by famine." Hashem said to Moses, "Behold, I shall rain down for you food from heaven. Let the people go out and pick each day's portion on its day, so that I can test them whether they will follow my teaching or not." And we'll come back to the word teaching. We'll see that again later on in the message. Now, and again, I'll read it again in the King James. "And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, 'Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out to gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not.'" King James says law. Tanakh says teaching. They both go hand in hand. We're going to look really quick at Numbers chapter 11. We're still on the issue of bread. Numbers chapter 11. We'll start in verse 1. "The people took to seeking complaints. It was evil in the ears of Hashem, and Hashem heard, and his wrath flared, and a fire of Hashem burned against them, and it consumed at the edge of the camp. The people cried out to Moses. Moses prayed to Hashem, and the fire died down. He named that place Taberah, for the fire of Hashem had burned against them. The rabble that was among them cultivated a craving, and the children of Israel also wept once more and said, 'Who will feed us meat? We remember the fish that we ate in Egypt free of charge, the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now our life is parched. There is nothing. We have nothing to anticipate but the manna.'" So we have some time between when the Lord first rained down the manna in Exodus 16 to now Numbers 11. And I kind of look back a couple of chapters. I think this is maybe on the year 2. So they've been in the wilderness. They've been receiving manna for X amount of time. And the children of Israel and the multitude, or all the people, are still complaining about bread. Now, in the Tanakh, it said rabble. I'm not going to read it twice. It said rabble. And then in your King James or maybe NIV verse, depending on what you have, it should say mixed multitude. And if you notice in verse 4, I'll read that over, Numbers 11. "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting," and something separate, "the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who will give us flesh to eat?'" Okay, really quick, we'll return back. Let's look in Matthew chapter 11. We want to build scripture upon scripture, or precept upon precept, and validate every word with the word. Matthew chapter 11. We will start in verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And yes, I did get a little bit ahead of myself, but that's okay. So in Exodus and Numbers, the children of Israel, they complained about bread and food. Okay, they gave in. They gave in to their lust or their desires of the flesh or of the heart, however you want to look at it. But they gave in, and the Most High, he had punished them. And that is the title for today. Don't give in. The word for today is do not give in. So they gave in to the bread. They gave in to what they were eating. They gave in. We today are in the body of Christ, and the ultimate punishment for us is being destroyed in the lake of fire prepared for Lucifer and his angels, Revelation 19:20 and Revelation 20:15. Okay, next to that is the tribulation. Tribulation, it's a little FYI for your information, is mentioned three times in the Tanakh or the Old Testament. And the one time it's mentioned is different than the other two. Okay, and I'm not going to go through it. You can just copy those down, check it out for yourself. Deuteronomy 4:30. I'll read it for you, though, because it's very interesting, very good. Deuteronomy 4:30. When thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, which is right now, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shall be obedient to his voice, that tribulation is Strong's number 6892. And it means sar. And it's the only time it's mentioned in your Bible in Hebrew. One time, the other two times, a different word. And I'm going to tell you what the biblical definition for sar or tribulation. Narrow, tight, strait, distress, adversary, foe, enemy, oppressor, hard pebble, and flint. And we know about the tribulation when we get into Revelation. But the Israelites at that time, they did not want manna from heaven. They didn't want it. They've just had too much. And today, the body of Christ does not want word from heaven. In the wilderness, they did not want manna. Manna comes from the Father for the people. Body of Christ does not want the word, because the word is truth when we get to John, is it not? Sanctify them in thy word. Thy word is truth. The body of Christ does not want the word. And where does the word come from? The Father. And we know, turn to Deuteronomy 8:3. Deuteronomy 8:3. So we're looking at the children of Israel not wanting manna. And we're looking at the body of Christ not wanting word. And can we compare those two? We sure can. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy forefathers know, that he might make thee known that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. They didn't want physical bread. We don't want spiritual bread. Turn to John chapter 1. I hope with us some of these dots are starting to connect, because we got a long way to go. A lot of word today. John chapter 1. Just give me a hallelujah whenever you get there, because I don't want to leave people. John chapter 1 will be in verse 14. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the word was made flesh. So Israelites didn't want manna. We don't want the word. During the time that when Christ was on earth, he was a man. He was the word made flesh. They didn't want him neither. John chapter 6. Well, the majority. There were some who were bowing and crying for the Messiah because they knew. They knew that the word was true. So that there will always be people who are in their word. John chapter 6, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perish, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." And they said unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." They said therefore unto him, "What signs showest thou then, and we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it was written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father give you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, and everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. I will raise him up at that last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." And they said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, "Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man thereof that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So we see Yahshua comparing himself to that same bread, and even just as he had advanced and upgraded the Torah, he's now advancing, and you're seeing where he's saying that I am that bread. Just like he says, I am the way. If you want to get to the Father, you got to come through me. Nothing has changed. The Father has food for us, but our taste buds love the world's flavor and spices. But the Father has food, and it's abundant. But do you want it? That's the real question. So talk about grace. The Most High could have said, no. You people with a certain background, you stay here. Different cultures stay here. I only want sons and daughters of Jacob and pure blood and pure DNA when they're coming out of Egypt, when they're coming out of Mizraim. The rest of you, just stay put. I only want legitimate blood. I only want those. But that is grace and love. If you want a chance to be free, if you want a chance to life, come on. If you really want it, come on. I don't care who you are. Come as you are. Bring your problems. Come on. Only if you want to get right. That's the only catch in that. Come as you are. Bring what you have. Bring your luggage. But you got to want to get right because you're going to lose it. You're going to lose those burdens. You're going to lose that load. You're going to lose the things that keep you trapped. Come on. Anybody. This is free. It's free bread. If you want it. That is the graciousness. That's the gracious Father who loves his people. Now we're in the 21st century and the saints of the Most High God who have been bought with a price. We cannot follow the same example of our ancestors and give in into the mixed multitude that is around us and with us. Because they're the mixed multitude with the people. So for that instance, the Bible separates them. It says the mixed multitude complained and the children of Israel started to complain and started to cry. We are mixed in the world. You can't give in to the world. You can't give in to the rabble that is in the midst of you. Do not give in. So where do we give in at? And we, I said we, me too. Where do we give in at? What aspects of Torah do we fall short and give in? How do we fail Yahshua's advancement and upgrade of Torah? What causes us to give in when the Holy Spirit tells us to do something and we don't do it? You hear it clearly. You don't do it. Keep that to yourself. Keep that answer to yourself because that's between you and your high priest. Okay, Hebrews 4:13, Hebrews 7:26, Hebrews 8:1, Christ Jesus, Yahshua is our high priest in heaven. And in Hebrews 4:13, he's called great, the great high priest. He's also your judge. Isaiah 33:22. Great scriptures to write down and study. Your savior, Isaiah 43:11, Titus 3:4, Ephesians 3:20. Your Redeemer, Psalm 19:14, Psalm 78:35, Isaiah 41:14, Titus 2:14, and your King. Isaiah 33:22, Psalm 89:18. The real question is, do you care? Do you feel bad? Are you mad at yourself? Are you sad? Do you acknowledge that you have embarrassed the Son of God? Or do you justify your sorry behind and make excuses for the things that I do, things that we do, things that you do? That's between you and the Father. That's between you and Christ, the Son of God, because only through him will you walk through that gate. Only through him will you get to receive the life that he's talking about. He has the bread. Turn to Romans chapter 6. And we'll be here a lot in Romans. We will cross-reference some scriptures from Romans back to the Torah or the first five books or any of the prophets. There's some things we will connect a little bit. But do not give in, people. We cannot give in. The word that's been going forth since Tabernacles, seeking his face, justification, Kelly Mack had preached. We must overcome, staying on the course, take home test. Today, don't give in. The Lord is real. His word is real. And he wants to feed us. But we like a certain flavor. Some weeks ago, we had some people over at Shabbat, and the Most High was like, ask this person if they need any help in the word or just talk about some words, some scriptures. Sly was slow-footed. He said, ask him. So I asked. No, not really. A little bit later on that eve, you know, I do got some questions about that, such, 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 such. And the next day, right here, first thing came out of Kelly Mack's mouth is that we need to be learning, as everybody needs to be learning, the word so that you can teach and be able to talk properly about the Lord in the right situation. Everybody. So I don't know if that person caught that. That's just how real it is. When you're in the spirit, the body is together as one. You're talking about something one day and then boom, There it is right there given out of the pulpit. And it's not the person, it's the Lord. They're saying, hey, I'm talking to you. You might not can see me, but you should be able to hear me. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Stop right there. And Paul is saying, shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? We hear it all the time when you might mention, well, you know, I keep all the commandments, or I'm Torah observant. Well, you know, the law is dead. You're not done, blah, blah, blah. All that blasphemous talk. And then Paul is saying, what, just keep on sinning? Just abounding all the grace, right? He's asking a question. And his response is, God forbid that you do that. May Lord have mercy on your soul if you do that. How long shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So no, grace is not a credit card. You just keep swiping. You just keep swiping. You just keep, I'm going to charge to the Lord. I'm going to charge to the Lord. I'm going to charge to the Lord. Trust me, you will pay every penny back to him when it's that time. So if you want to do that, it says right here in the Bible, not me, right here in the Bible, God forbid. Picking up in 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Walk. We see it again. First word I had, the Lord gave me to give, walk the way to Jerusalem. We talked about what it meant to walk. And the Lord is saying, walk in a newness, or Paul is saying, walk in a newness of life. But we just died to sin. Whatever your issues are, and we all have our issues, sexual issues, depression, stress, emotion, anger, rage, wrath, all these different things, you're dead to that now. When you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into his death. So those things are gone. Those things are dead. Walk in newness now. Pick back up in 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. People, you're free. One of the things about this word today is to say you are free. How free are you? Have I told you this before? Turn to Isaiah 42. Keep your finger there in Romans, please. Isaiah 42. We are free. You are not a captive. The devil is a liar. He's a deceiver. And we're going to go over that in Romans, how he is deceived. Isaiah 42, starting in verse 1. I hear the pages turning, so I'll wait till you get there. Isaiah 42, verse 1. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and all the isles shall wait for his law, or Torah. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he hath given breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and will give thee for a covenant of the people, for the light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. You are free. What keeps you in darkness? What keeps you down? What keeps your head here? What keeps you where you can't function? You're free. So the devil is deceiving you by thinking you're still in jail. You're not in jail. When the Father raised him up from the dead, you are free. Thank you. Turn back to Romans chapter 6. We are free. He is a liar and a thief. Yeshua's conquered him. As we said a couple weeks ago, all the devil has is a mouthpiece. We give him power. I thought about it. I said he has no power, and he doesn't, but we give him power. We do give him power. We do give him authority. So he has none unless we give him the keys to our car. Don't let him drive your car. Romans 6, 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey in its lust thereof. Do not pay attention to the desires of your flesh. They will be there until we're in our spirit being. It will be a constant battle between our flesh, wickedness in the heart, and the spirit that's inside of you that craves the mighty one, that wants to please him in all things, that loves him, and he loves us. So we have to minimize the flesh. We have to ignore our flesh. We got to ignore the thoughts, the feelings, emotions. Just put it to the side, because it is a roadblock. It is a speed bump. It's a brick wall. You have to do whatever you got to do for the Lord. Every individual has a job for the Father. Everybody. Everybody. And the devil is trying to keep you from doing your job. What is your job? He's keeping you from doing your job. The work of the Lord, pick up your cross and follow me. Christ worked. We just read in John, I do the will of my Father. It's his will I do. So if we following Yahshua or Jesus, we have to do the Father's will. The simplicity of this. 1 + 1 = 2. No matter how far you are in advanced calculus, 1 + 1 = 2. Pick up in 15. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. If ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, when it says we are not under the law but under grace, and we've all at some point heard that about, well, you're not under seas, right? It says it right there. You're not under the law. You're under grace. Well, what is Paul saying? How is Paul saying? How is Paul teaching right now? What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? Well, you're not under the law because when I screw up, when I drop the ball, I'm not going to have the congregation stone me to death. So, yeah, I am under grace because I have a chance to do what? I got a chance to repent. I have a chance to say, Jesus, I am sorry. And I'm not going to do it again. I'm going to repent or shuvat. I'm going to get up and I'm going to go this way. I won't go that way. I won't walk that way. I'm going to walk this way. And I won't do it again. That's what that concept means of being under law and under grace. Because he says, shall we just sin? He said earlier, do we just sin and let grace abound? God forbid. Lord, help your soul if you choose that route. So you are either obeying sin unto death, because we know in Romans, I'm sorry, that's coming up. We know that sin leads you to death. Obedience leads you to righteousness. Righteousness and justice and truth, life, all those words are just a great word to say Torah or commandments. Obviously, sin is the opposite. There is no, you know, gray area or a middle spot. It's either here or there. That's it. There is no middle. Verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. In the NIV version, when it says, but ye have been obeyed from the heart, you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. In NIV, it says teaching. Now, didn't we read in the Torah not too long ago earlier about his words and that bread being teaching? And that's how your Bible lines up. I can't remember exactly where it was, but it said teaching. I said, we're going to see teaching again. Well, here we have Paul is saying, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or teaching which was delivered unto you, being then free from sin, made free from sin. So they started keeping the commandments. He's in Rome. He's talking to people during this part right here who are not, they're Gentiles, okay? They understand a different way. So he's teaching and talking to them so that they can understand. Free, been made free. Verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. So when you're sinning and you're corrupt, you don't have to worry about the commandments or the Torah. There's nothing to really, you're free from righteousness when you want to sin and when you want to do those things. You are free. You're really not under the Torah. You're death. You're headed to death, as we see here at the end of this chapter. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wages of sin is death. So either back up to 16, you are you obey sin, which leads to death, or you obey righteousness and obedience unto life. That's just your choice. Because Christ is a gentleman, and he ain't gonna force you. He's not gonna force you. He will not force you. You have to be a willing servant and following the Lord. Romans 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit from God. Now, if you look at it closely, in verse 1 he says, I am speaking to them that understand Torah. I'm speaking to Yehudim. I'm speaking to Judeans, possibly Israelites scattered, and maybe you held on. You know, I'm talking to you now. I'm not talking to Gentiles. I'm talking to brethren that understand Torah, and he gives them an example of the Torah, marriage laws. So we hear a lot, I'm dead to the law. Or you're dead to the law. So we'll just say the people. The people. Draw a little line here. Torah. or law. And we're going to say in big letters, death. Okay? People. Draw a little line here, a little connecting dot. Yahshua or Jesus. And I say it again, I will say Jesus just because I don't want to be a stumbling block for anybody. Anybody can hear this CD. Anybody can be here today. And if the Lord has moved a person to hear or to be in the presence, the last thing I want to do is be prideful and big-headed, as it says in Peter. So people, Torah and law. So it says that ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. So in the example that he's using, you were married, okay, the husband or the wife, she was married to her first husband, okay? And long story short, if she is the first husband dies, she can marry whoever she wants to marry, okay? If he's still alive, she can't marry. She will be called an adulteress, okay? So the people are married to the law or Torah. Okay, and Paul's saying, well, now you're dead to that. Well, according to the Torah, that when this person right here is dead, this person can remarry right here. So the people here can remarry. Who is Paul telling us to remarry? Who is he saying to remarry? He's saying to remarry Christ. So if he's saying to remarry Christ, you will keep commandments. You will keep the holy days. You will eat. Follow the dietary laws because you're marrying him. That's who you're marrying. So a little bit later, it talks about that the letter. But yeah, you are dying to the letter because we can't do the letter right. We take the letter and we try to be over on top of somebody. We try to imitate God. We're the almighty teacher, preacher, pope, priest, rabbi, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, you are dead to the Torah because you've been married to Yahshua, who is the walking Torah. He's the Word made flesh. Isn't that what it's saying, John? John's not crazy. So when you hear those things, you're being edified on this to defend the Word of God. So, yeah, you died. They're dead. Okay. But I'm going to read, but he's saying remarry, remarry to Christ. You're not married to the Torah. And he's talking to people who understand, who have a clear understanding of the Torah and the commandments and the Tanakh or the Old Testament. They understand. So he's giving them an example and saying, this is what you need to do. Romans picking up in 5. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto the dead. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So once again, we're talking to fellow brethren who've been raised this way. So I'm going to give you another example. I'm not saying, Paul's telling them, hey, I'm not telling you that the law is evil or sin, because I wouldn't have even known what lust meant if the Most High hadn't said, thou shalt not covet. Okay? So he's trying to, earlier he's talking to Gentiles. Now he's talking to fellow brethren. Picking up in 8. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of I can't even pronounce that word, excuse me. For without the law, sin is dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be under death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. What is that saying? Because the people in the world will take that and flip the word of the Lord and put you in a jam. Sin is the opposite of commandments. Without the Torah, there's no explanation of sin. Torah is life. The commandments are life. Really quick, Deuteronomy 6:2. Deuteronomy 6:2. Really quick. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and all his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son's son all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Really quick, 1 Kings 11:34. The commandments are life. We are called to do the work of the Lord. We have to understand his word and his purpose. We've got to let that spirit overwhelm us and rise up when it's that time, when it's the time to witness or to talk or whatever it is, whatever God and God appointment I call them. Sometimes you end up talking to somebody you just don't know. So you got to be ready. You got to be ready to roll. You got to be ready to roll for the Lord. 1 Kings 11:34. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him prince all the days of his life for David, my servant's sake, whom I choose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. All the days of his life. Why? Because he kept my commandments and my statutes. Matthew 19. We will go back to Romans just really quick. Just showing commandments and life. Matthew 19. Matthew 19:17. Matthew 19:17. And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Revelation 22, last book of the Bible. Let's see how the Bible closes. How does the Bible close? Just looking at it. Commandments and life. Commandments and life. 22:14, Revelation. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So four different verses, is a whole lot more. Just four really quick different stages of your Bible saying the exact same thing about commandments and life. And back to Romans chapter 7. Back to Romans chapter 7. And what does Paul say in verse 10? And the commandment which was ordained to life. The commandment ordained to life. He says, I found to be unto death. What is he saying? Obviously, breaking them is death. But when you look at verse 11, for sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. So sin deceiving and taking advantage. As in, if the Lord says, do not covet, and you hear that voice in your head, and that lady walks by, and she is hot, or that guy comes by built like a brick house. Sin taking advantage, sin deceiving through the commandment, because the enemy knows the word. So he's going to present you with an opportunity. He's going to present you with opportunity. How do you fare? So Paul is saying he's really being extremely humble. When you really, really read this, he's being very, very humble. Because of the commandment, sin can deceive and cause me to follow my flesh, and I break the commandment. Breaking them is death. And he ends this talking about the Torah in verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. In a few verses later, we're about to read that the law is spiritual. So if something is spiritual, it's holy, it's just, it's good, and that's just thrown away. Does that make sense? Deception right in front of your face. Romans 7, picking up in verse 13. When then that which is good made death unto me, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Stop right there. And what he's saying, he's not saying that there's that which was good made death unto me, God forbid, but sin that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good. That sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. And he's being humble because he's saying, my commandment keeping isn't good enough. He's talking to fellow brethren who've been raised by the Torah, keeping the commandments. Gentlemen, your commandment keeping ain't good enough. We got to marry him to get to life. You're dead to this because you keeping the Torah and the commandments, it ain't good enough. And they're looking at him that I was raised this way. I was raised this way. And you're telling me that I can't have life and I got the words right here. You're dead to this. So they're not feeling Paul. You're dead to this and marry him. The crazy guy walking around. Somebody marry him and take his spirit. I've been taught this all my life. And when you look at today in the 21st century, you have people who are so intelligent and so Torahful knowledge and all this stuff. It's the exact same thing. They have it all. There's no need for a spirit. They're saying there's no need for a spirit to get to life. I'm in. I got the blood. I'm going in. I'm family. Over and over. History just repeats itself over and over and over. We'll pick up in, sorry, lost my place. 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. He said the Torah is spiritual. The problem is us, because we're flesh. That's the problem. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. The stuff I don't want to do, I do, and I hate it. So we asked you earlier, when you are in whatever funk you're in, or when you're having whatever situation with this, or whatever problem that caused you to veer off course, that keeps you from overcoming, do you hate it? Because if you just kind of ball up and just let it beat you up, you're done. You cannot be a walking punching bag because Satan is relentless. He is relentless to keep you from doing your job. It goes back to us. The stuff that you do, do you hate it? Do you hate the problems? Do you hate it? You just say, as I used to be, well, it is what it is. Woe is me. I'm just doomed. And 16, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. And I looked up, I don't remember the word consent, the Greek word, but it meant confessed. It means to confess. So let's read that again. If then I do that which I would not, I confess unto the Torah that it is good. I confess that it's good. 17. Now then, it is no more that I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. And one thing I can say about this ministry here is that there is a strong push, obviously, to stop the sins of the hands, but to get deep in here. Right. I think somebody was praying earlier in worship was talking about generational curses and just the sins of your heart. OK, and that it should be everybody's goal. One is to stop with these, but to dig deep and get rid of that iniquity. And Paul is saying, hey, it's in me, and saying it's not really me. It's just the sin that's in me because I'm dead to that stuff. As he said a couple chapters ago, I'm dead to that because Christ died. Christ was risen. Now I'm alive again. That's how we are. That's how we should be. That's exactly how we should be. We are dead to those things. It is what it is, but it's not really me. It's just the iniquity that's in my heart that I am working until Christ come back. I will be a diligent worker cleaning out my temple, knocking down blocks, knocking down bricks, tearing down statues and idols, because you got to do the work. He will help you, but you got to do the work because you put him there. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not, for the good that which I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a Torah or a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I delight after the Torah. That's for my spirit. Because if you go back to verse 14, we know that the law is spiritual. The Torah is not for your flesh. We'll read a little bit later in verse 8. There's a confrontation between flesh and spirit. Your spirit that is yearning to please the Lord, that wants to follow the Lord, there's a struggle with the flesh. And it will not end. It will be a battle in your mind, a war going on until you leave this place. But were you conquering in your mind? See, before we can go out and conquer in the world for the Lord and do His work, we got to deal with us first. Because if you're on the battlefield and if you're injured or if you're not at full strength, you will be a lame duck. And you will not overcome. The Lord is trying to prepare us for something greater than what we can really imagine. But until then, we have to tune up. We talked about we got to train ourselves. We're going through training camp. And He's not going to let us play until we get ready. We cannot go play. It's not time to play yet. But time is so short. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And I happened to look up the word members. I don't remember exactly the Greek word, but as I was looking at the definition of it, it blew me away. I don't remember the whole definition, but these three words were enough for me. Criminal, intercourse, ending with harlot. Criminal ending, it was something, something, something. Criminal intercourse, something, 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 harlot. So what members of the body you think Paul's talking about right now, people? We are in the real world. And we know that during that time of Rome that there were open showers, open public bathing, open orgies, things like that. Oh, wretched man that I am, the war of the other members of my body. I want to do this, but I see this over here and it sure does look good. I guess I'm the only one who went down that street. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me from this? That's why he's saying, marry him, because your commandment keeping ain't good enough. It ain't good enough. You better marry him. You're done with this, because you can't do it. He can do it. He did it when he came. He did it. Perfected it. Conquered it for you. Follow me, he says. Uh, 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So there is definitely, he's talking about two separate laws. So we got to understand, we just read 6 and 7, that sometimes he's not necessarily talking about the Torah. So we have to be edified. We have to understand these things so that when we are brought with an opportunity to defend the Lord, to score points for the Lord, we're ready to play. We are ready to play for the Lord. We're going to defend our Father. We're going to defend Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. We're going to defend that word, because to keep the commandments means to what? Shamor, to safeguard, protect. Not to let somebody disrespect the word in my presence. Chapter 8, verse 1. I don't know about the time today. Verse 1, chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Better marry him. I can't do it that way. My first husband, it just didn't work out right. So he died. I got me a new husband now, Yeshua, Jesus Christ. I can do the commandments by myself if I want to, but that guy's gone. That husband's passed away. Because I married the walking and living Torah. Verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So when he says that the law is weak, he's not meaning that it's weak. Remember what he said, how he was deceived through the commandments by sin? That's what he's talking about. That the fact that I'm trying to keep these commandments on my own and I cannot covet, but yet she's super hot and I want her. Whoop, covet. The sin deceived me through the commandment. He's a snake. Snakes ain't got no vertebrae. Deceived me through the commandment. So when he says the law is weak, that's why he calls it weak. Not because it's, he called it holy, spiritual, good, just. Defend the word of the Lord. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, bless you, but after the Spirit. Walking after the Spirit. If I had my notes, I could keep up a little bit better. Let me read that again, verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Really quick peep a finger right there. Isaiah 42:21. Now, we did not go over this some weeks ago, but I did in Corinth. So there will be the same word for both congregations, which was new for me. But the Lord is he whatever he wants. I'm going to do my best to get it done. So they'll understand this, hopefully. 42:21, the Lord is well pleased for his righteousness sake. He will magnify the Torah and make it honorable. So we are being made honorable. He is combining us. He's put the Spirit in us. We are keeping his commandments, and that is magnifying the Torah as we go throughout the earth doing the will of our Father, like Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, who we follow. Romans 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The struggle, the confrontation between the Spirit and the flesh, carnal mind, spiritual mind. Which one of those minds does the most of your thinking, the carnal or the spiritual? Which one? Which one do you just dwell on? The carnal stuff? Because if you're in the carnal field, Ha-Satan will attack you. He will attack you. He will attack you. And you're not free no more. You're in prison. Christ has kicked open the door, left the key right there, and you're still in the jail cell, but the door is open. And the devil said, well, no. You just, no. And keeping you all discombobulated. And you can't walk out. Yeshua is saying, come on. My son, my daughter, come on. I've done it. What you can't do, I did it. Just marry me. Tabernacles taught a class about enjoying his rest. Yashab, dwell. One of the words of dwelling meant to marry. So it's been told over and over and over and over. He that hath the ear, let him hear. Verse 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. explains itself. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. I'm just losing my place, sorry. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So you can live. You don't have to be held captive. You don't have to have this load. And when we get done, I'll probably be a little bit over. But when we get to the end, we'll see a great example, the Most High. But anyway, you can live. You can live. You are free to live. You are free to have peace of mind. You are free. You are free. Shackles have been broken. That song was great. Come out of Babylon. Sometimes Babylon is referred to just maybe not the physical place, but the thinking, the mindset, the state of being of the world, a Babylonian thinking process, a Babylonian type of life. Come out. You are free. You're not locked up. You are not locked up. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God. My sons and my daughters, come on home. Come on home. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Spirit of bondage again to fear. And one thing that I know I've had to deal with, I've had to overcome fear. Because when you say, I follow the Lord, when you really say you follow the Lord, when you follow the Most High, that you follow the teaching, I walk the way of Christ, you are nuttier than a fruitcake. You understand? You are psycho nutty when you really follow the Bible. But when you overcome that fear, because the fear keeps you back. Christ is saying you have nothing to fear. The devil says, oh yeah, they're going to say this. They're going to murmur that. They're going to do this. Fear is not of the Father. Love, peace, encouragement, strength, protection. That's of the Father. Fear is a lie. This is one of his lies. We'll talk about fear in a little bit, if I can hurry up. Verse 19, with the earnest verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Oh, are we ready for this? Are we getting ourselves prepared? Have we been getting ourselves prepared since Tabernacles? Have we been seeking it? The first word was seek his face. Have we been seeking his face? Now, understand how deep this the battle runs, is that we're supposed to be doing the work of the Lord. The Lord gave a word through Pastor Bill. He gave the word, seek his face. Right after Tabernacles. The Lord was in the camp. Was he not during the feast? Yes, he was. So what's the first word on the first Sabbath after Tabernacles? Seek his face. Objective number one, seek my face. So what does Satan do? He keeps you from seeking his face. He keeps you distracted. He keeps you off course. He doesn't want you to pass take-home tests. He don't want you to overcome. He wants you to give in. Don't let him win. Fight him. Fight him. Do not let him win. But if we hope... 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We don't see it. Some of us don't see in the spirit. Just let me keep going however long you know. So are you waiting? In your mind, are you really ready? Are you really trying to prepare and get ready? So when he moves again, like he moved when the Israelites were in Egypt, it will be glorious. It will be unexplainable. And you better be ready. Because if you're not ready, if you're stuck in the carnal mind and not in the spiritual mind, and then unfortunately, the Most High got to keep moving because he has plans, he has things to do. So luckily we are in a time of grace to get ready for the next step. We don't know when he's going to move. He's just giving us time to get ready. Hearing that all my life, growing up in church, even Sunday church. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Yeah, they're right. Get ready. Likewise, the Spirit, 26, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So pray in the Spirit. It helps our infirmities. It helps our weaknesses. It helps get those stinking handcuffs and shackles off us. It shines the light of the Lord so that we can see. The devil wants it dark. He wants you lost. He don't want you to follow the map. We got a map. We got word. We got a compass. Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit. Amen. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? What am I scared of? What am I really worried about? What am I angry about? What am I sad about? What am I, you know, what is it? If God can be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died? Yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercessions for us. Remember earlier, high priest. He's our high priest, the great high priest, Hebrews 4:17. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? So what shall separate you from him? Tribulation? Stress? What? What will separate you from him? What will keep you out of his love? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. So what makes you give in? Paul is saying nothing. If Satan himself shows up, nothing will make me give in. Will make you give in. Nothing. No trick, no deception, no lies, no nothing will separate me. Will keep me dwelling in the carnal mind as opposed to my spiritual mind. Nothing. Almost done. Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Exodus 34. Verse 27, do not give in. Do not give in. Exodus 34, verse 27. And the Lord said to Moses, write thou these words, for after the tenure of these words, I have made a covenant with thee and with Israel. And he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with these two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses was not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with them. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone. And they were afraid to come near him or nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses talked with him. And afterward, all the children of Israel came nigh. And he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and he spake to the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. And as I was preparing to close for this word, I was looking at how he wanted me to close. I knew I had to come to this area right here, but I didn't know where he wanted me to go with it. We're going to look. Keep your finger right there. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Just keep your finger in Exodus, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And I hope to get this on, but I might not. And I'm so sorry for those of y'all at home. Matthew chapter 5, we'll start on verse 14. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. I got to go a little fast. I'm sorry. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that